Good morning, everybody. Glad to see you this morning on this rainy Sunday morning. And coming to you for live from our church property on Sunset Road. I'm actually in a converted garage, and we are excited that next week our plan is to actually come together and meet in person. So I got to tell you, I was looking at how long we've actually been streaming these services live, and literally next week will be the 26th week that we've been going live stream only. And it's been a long time, and none of us thought that it would be here this long, that it would take this long, and that it would last this long of us streaming only. But we believe that God has guided us and directed us to an opportunity for us to begin to meet again in person. Things are certainly going to be a little bit different, a little bit smaller, but we do believe that little by little, God will continue to increase just his faithfulness and his blessings as we continue to expand on the property. So if you feel like it, we want to invite you guys to come on out next Sunday to meet us here live for our 9:30 service. We always welcome you to come on out earlier, get a little bit of coffee, have an opportunity to fellowship. Hopefully it'll be a nice sunny day so we can have the garage doors open and just enjoy God's goodness. I know I was looking at the weather, and it looks like the weather is going to get a little bit nicer for us. So I want to thank everybody for enduring this time with us and staying committed to watching us online. But we certainly do miss you guys. And we know that there's been a lot of trying times during this season. And I pray, I think Blake even said it, I pray that God has shown you some amazing things through this season. Certainly he's taught us a lot, and there was a lot of things that we learned. And we're thankful to God for every season that he gives us in our lives. But this morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 23, continuing to go through Acts. And we looked at a verse out of Acts chapter 23 last week, but this week we're going to continue in that section. So if you want to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 23, also if you want to mark your Bibles, we're going to make our way over to 1 Kings chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3, obviously in the Old Testament. But yeah, there's a scripture that if we get to it, we're going to turn to it. Let's see. Excited to be in the Word of God today. I really believe that the Lord has blessed this message, and I pray it's a blessing to your heart. I pray that during this time that the Word of God has sustained you and encouraged you. I was at a conference earlier in the week, and it was just so encouraging to be reminded of the reason we do what we do as pastors, as leaders in the church. It's here to teach the Word of God. And one thing I did walk away from that conference was it is this time where we need to stand up as a church and begin to meet again. I mean, certainly teaching the Word of God. The Word of God is so very important, and we'll see that even in our text this morning. But just to stay committed to the call, even in these crazy times. A lot of churches are doing things differently these days, but we're still committed to our faithfulness to God. So Acts chapter 23, if you want to open your Bibles there, and hopefully you're at verse 1. But before we get into the Word, would you pray with me one more time? Let's ask God to bless this time as we study his Word. Father God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you so much, Lord, for your love for us. And God, we come to you this morning once again, asking you, Lord, to be with us. Asking you, Lord, for your will to be accomplished in our heart. I pray for every single person watching us online right now. And I pray, God, that you would bless their lives. I pray, God, that they are bringing their cares and their concerns to you. And that you are at work behind the scenes, Lord, working on their behalf. Lord, you are such a good and awesome God. And we want to thank you for your faithfulness to us. Your love for us abounds. Your love for us is eternal. And we are so grateful that your love, it never fails. And I pray, Lord, as we press in, as we continue to study scriptures, God, that you would bring truth into our hearts, that we know your ways are so much greater than our ways. So God, we come with expectant hearts, with open minds to receive your truth. We pray that the Holy Spirit would have his way with us here this morning, and that you would bring blessing upon us. God, not for anything more than to bring glory and honor to you. Thank you. We love you with all of our heart, and we pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, it's been said, when we make plans, God laughs. You ever heard that saying? Whenever we make plans, God laughs. See, we all make plans. We all have desires in our lives. We all have hopes and dreams for our future. But is it really our plan that we want? I'm going to submit to you and to myself that really what we want is God's plan. What we want is the plan of the Lord, that he would get his will done. See, we can make plans and then ask God to bless them. Or we can just seek the Lord for his plan, for his will, and for his way. That's really what we should be doing, is asking for God's plan. Because when we seek the Lord for his plan is so much better. His plan is so much greater than anything we could come up with. It's a reminder to all of us that we have to be committed to seek the Lord and his will. Again, because his way is greater. I love this verse in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says this, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." What an amazing verse this is as the Apostle Paul writes this to the church of Ephesus. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. It's a great reminder that when we come to God in prayer, when we come to God with our need, when we come to God with our request, that he does more. He adds to it. He blesses it beyond our own capacity. And it's just an amazing thing to realize that it's an exceedingly abundantly above whatever we would ask or think. Guys, that's the kind of blessings that God wants to bring into your life. He wants to bless you exceedingly abundantly above anything that you have in store. How many of us have sought the Lord, have been looked for God in a certain path, a certain purpose of our life, in our future, hoping for something, and God adds to it. God does even more than we would ever ask. The danger is that we don't ask. The danger is that we don't think. The danger is that we don't spend time with God and ask him to fulfill and to unfold his plan. Because his plan is so much better. Even as I stand on this property and think of the years that we sought the Lord for our plan, for our place as a church, and now being here, this is so much more than we could ever have asked or thought. Always believing that God had a plan, always believing that God had more. My friends, I want you to believe that God has more for you. I want you to believe that God wants more for you. No matter what's going on in your life, whether things are going great and you're on that mountaintop experience with God, you're feeling close to the Lord, everything's going good in your life, God still wants more for you. Or maybe you're in a difficult place. Maybe you're feeling abandoned. Maybe you're feeling alone. Maybe you're feeling like God has given up. Listen, God wants more for you. God has hopes for you. God is teaching you in these times. God teaches us in our lows and God teaches us in our highs. That we have to rely on him no matter what. Exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask. According to his riches. See, it's according to him and not us. I was at a friend's house and this sign was on their wall. I just love this sign. It says, "Pray big." I actually posted it on my Instagram one time. To pray big. He is all powerful. Isn't that a wonderful reminder? Isn't that a great reminder for each and every one of us to pray big prayers? If God does exceedingly abundantly above all we want, then pray big prayers and God will go beyond those. I don't think it's asking too much because God's word tells us that we know that he does exceedingly abundantly above. Everything in your life, if you looked back upon your past, you would see God answered your prayers in amazing ways. God even went beyond what you asked. That's the truth of the life of a believer. As we look at the Apostle Paul's life, he needed to know that God always has a plan. That's my title for the message this morning. God always has a plan. God always has a plan and a purpose for your life. Even in the difficult season. Even in the seasons where you don't have a lot, or you're in great need, or you're suffering, either physically, emotionally, or even spiritually, God has a plan. And it's a great plan. And you may not understand the plan. You may not understand why it's happening this way. You may not understand why it's going this way. But I want you to be reminded this morning, God has a plan for you. God always has a plan. We never get to a place in our lives where God goes, I don't know what to do. I get that way in my life. I don't know what to do. Someone will ask me a question. I don't know what to do. But God always has a plan. God always has a plan and purpose for the seasons of our life. I want you to believe that God has a plan for you. I want you to believe that God has a good plan for you. See, when we continually submit our plans to him, he will turn those plans into greater blessings. Never stop putting your heart on the altar of God. Never stop taking your plans to the Lord and saying, Lord, is this your will? Listen, the Bible tells us that he gives us the desires of our heart. And I believe that verse really says he places those desires in our hearts. He places those plans in our hearts. Maybe you're feeling lost. Maybe you're feeling like you're on a road that leads to nowhere. And this plan and that you're on right now doesn't seem like it makes sense, but I'm telling you, God has a plan. Even if you're heading down a dead-end road, God has a way out. God will turn you around, and he'll get you back on his plan. See, Jesus keeps us on the path that leads to righteousness. His word helps us stay upon the path that leads to God and leads to greater victory. One thing we can never forget as believers, this is not our home. You should know that. This is not our place. This is not our final destination. This isn't what it's all about. No, what it's all about is being in heaven. And I don't know why heaven is, but it's all about going to be with the Lord in heaven. That's the true victory. So the suffering on this side of heaven is only for a short season, my friends. And it's our job to endure. It's our job to stay the course until God takes us home. His plan is so much better. His plan is so much greater. See, Paul needed to know this. The Apostle Paul needed to know that God had a plan. Because by all intents and purposes, Paul's recent endeavors in Jerusalem have led to failure. Everything he put his hand to, everything he tried to do, nothing happened, no fruit. And it's really discouraging when you're in a place and you're not seeing fruit, when you're not seeing something produced out of your efforts, out of your labor. I mean, have you ever had a day like that? Or maybe you've had a week like that, or perhaps you've had a year like that. No matter how hard you try, no matter how much effort you put in, it doesn't seem like anything comes to pass. Nothing gets produced. I've had days like that where I've worked a lot, but I never moved the ball forward. I never gained 1 yard. No, I felt like I was getting beat up and kicked back and pushed back. No, the Apostle Paul needed to know that God was in control and that God had a plan, because God always has a plan. I want you to believe that this morning. I believe that. I believe God always has a plan. And his plan sometimes takes a long time to unfold. Sometimes his plan causes us pain. Sometimes his plan causes us discomfort. Sometimes his plan stretches us to seemingly beyond our ability, but God's plan always produces what God's purpose was in store for that plan. So let's look at the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 23. We're going to read verse 1 again because it's important to have that in context. But read with me, if you would. Acts chapter 23, verse 1 says, "Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, 'Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day.' And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, 'God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?' And those who stood by said, 'Do you revile God's high priest?' Then Paul said, 'I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, you shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" So pause right there. When it comes to God always has a plan, the first thing I see here in these first five verses, is God has a way of humbling us. Paul is standing before the Jewish council. Paul is standing to be judged for his past behaviors as a believer, as a Christian. And so he's standing there and he just says, "I have lived ever since the day I was born, I live in good conscience." And for someone who's standing trial to actually say, "I've done nothing wrong," was an insult. Was an insult to the high priest. Now, the high priest should not have struck Paul. He should not have commanded Paul to be struck, because just like in our judicial system today, presumed innocent until proven guilty. It was the same thing in these days. Paul, you don't strike anyone who has not been convicted of a wrong. You don't take that authority in your hands. See, Paul offended the high priest and he took action. But the humility part comes as Paul realizes that he was the high priest. And what I love the most about the Apostle Paul is that Scripture guided his life. Once he realized that it was the high priest that commanded him to be struck, he said, "I didn't know you were the high priest." Have you ever been there in your life where you've done something, you've said something, you've taken some type of action, you've judged someone wrongly, only to find out later of your mistake? See, God has a way of humbling us. For the Apostle Paul, he wants to honor God. He wants to honor the Scriptures above all things. And so once he realizes that it was the high priest, he actually quotes Scripture. Let's see here. Out of Deuteronomy. Excuse me, my bad. Out of Exodus. Exodus chapter 22, verse 28 says, "You shall not revile God nor curse a ruler of your people." See, the Apostle Paul realized that he had made a mistake. He realized that he had gone outside the context of God's word. Scripture guided Paul's life. Scripture created boundaries around the Apostle Paul's life so that he would live within the context of living out the word of God. This is so important for all believers, that we would truly submit to the authority of the word of God. I think in no time in our history is it more important that the true believers in Jesus Christ, that true Christians, true spirit-filled Christians, are living according to the text. I've shared this many times. The verse in the Bible that makes me wonder all the time is when Jesus says, "When the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith on the earth?" Will he find faith? Will he find faith in your life? Will he find faith in my life? Will he find faith in the church? And for Jesus to ask the question reminds us that we, at the end, there's only going to be a few that are faithful. I want you to be faithful to the very end. God wants you to be a faithful follower of Christ. And in order to be faithful, we need to know the word of God, and we need to live by the word of God. Because we are living in days, my friends, where people and countries, governments and communities are removing the word of God out of our society. But for those of us that hold the Scriptures close to our hearts, this is the context, this is the guidance. Yes, we're to submit to authority, but ultimately we submit to the authority authority of God and the authority of his word. God humbled the apostle Paul. But once he realized his wrong, he took action. And he said, I didn't know. And that is some place that we can be in our lives that we don't know. And when we find ourselves in a place that we don't know, once the word of God reminds us of what we should know, then we must take action. So I would encourage you, if there's something that has happened this past week in your life and you've come to realize that you made a mistake, go back and make that right. Go back and take a stand for the Lord Jesus. Take a stand for your Savior and your Lord and correct whatever wrong you made. There's nothing wrong with saying, I didn't know. I didn't know, and I'm sorry, and I apologize, because that's what honors God. And we must honor God. Paul lived by the scriptures, as I said. You know, and it's in James chapter 4, verse 10. It says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. See, the apostle Paul, again, living by the scriptures, wanted to humble himself before his God and say, I was wrong. And then let God move. Let God work. Paul wasn't one to take matters into his own hands. Although later in the book of Acts, he alludes to the fact that he made a mistake here in this particular position, that he shouldn't have said the things that he said, that he shouldn't have called them whitewashed. What do you call them? Whitewashed wall. He was acting in the flesh. And I'm sure it happens to all of us. When we act out in the flesh, no good thing happens. When we act out in the flesh, Paul was angry because he had gotten hit. And maybe recently you've been feeling like you've been getting hit. Maybe you feel like you've been being slapped. Maybe you feel like you've been wronged unjustly, unfairly. Because the Apostle Paul was unjustly and unfairly accused and abused. But what he wanted is to be humble before his God. So if there's mistakes that you've made in your life, humble yourself before the Lord. It's the right thing to do. When we humble ourselves before the Lord, then he lifts us up. Because I believe when we're not humbled, we have the hard heart. We have a heart that's not living for God. And God needs to humble us. God needs to keep us in that place where he's our Lord and he's calling the shot and his plan is being done, not our own. Let God humble you. It is, honestly, a wonderful thing. It's painful in the flesh, but it's a wonderful thing when our flesh is humbled. Don't you believe there should be more humility in our world? Don't you feel that there should be more humility and more love, more compassion in the world that we're living in? There's not enough of it going around. But who's gonna spread it other than the believers? Yes, the Apostle Paul was humbled, but God will lift him up. Look with me at verse 6. It says, but when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged. And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Interestingly, as Paul apologizes for speaking against the high priest, this word, interestingly, perceived. He understood somehow what was going on, who these people were. There was a group of Pharisees, there were a group of Sadducees, and Paul used to be a Pharisee. And so he identified with the Pharisees. And I believe, under the guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, as Paul humbled himself before God and said, I didn't know, I'm sorry, I should not do that, honoring the word of God, that God instilled wisdom into the Apostle Paul and helped him discern or perceive, the Bible says, means to understand, to take a look and understand what situation you're in. And he perceived that some were Pharisees and some were Sadducees. And he knew, just like any good Jew would know, that the Pharisees and Sadducees are typically at odds with each other. But they had come together because of the Apostle Paul. They had come together because they were in agreement that the Apostle Paul and this Christianity thing needed to be stopped. They were in agreement, we'll see as we move on through this chapter, that they literally wanted the Apostle Paul dead. And they literally came together and made plans to put him to death. But his perception, as he perceived the differences, he makes a statement. And he says, I'm standing here before you because I believe in the afterlife, because I believe in resurrection, because I believe in a time that the dead will rise. And that would speak to the Pharisees, but it would speak against the Sadducees, because the Bible tells us, as this letter is being written to Theophilus, a Greek, a Gentile, that he had to understand that the Sadducees didn't believe in resurrection. They didn't believe in a spirit. The Pharisees were a bit more biblically based. They understood the scriptures and they read the scriptures. And they see clearly in the text of the Old Testament scriptures the teaching of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or the resurrection of the Messiah and the resurrection of the dead. They embraced that. And this one statement that I believe the Holy Spirit had instilled in the Apostle Paul, whether through his past or at that moment as he humbled himself, was able to bring division to those that were supposed to be ruling him. He basically set them on a discussion between each other to help him set himself free. I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was God himself that was guiding and directing the Apostle Paul. If we are people of the Word, if we truly want the Scriptures to guide and direct our lives, then it's the Scriptures that will come out of our lives. It is the Scriptures that will come out of our hearts, come out of our mouths, and we will share those truths with others. When you're with coworkers and they're talking against their spouse, or they're ridiculing another employee or judging someone else's behavior, then as believers, it's our responsibility, it's your responsibility to speak to them and say, that's not right. We should not, or perhaps a coworker is talking about getting a divorce or talking against their spouse. Those things need to be stopped. And who's going to stop it but those of us who believe in the truth that marriage is to be honored, that our parents are to be honored. Again, we need to be teaching the truth of the Word of God. Paul was humbled by God, but God helped him by giving him wisdom. When God always has a plan, he will give you bits and pieces of that plan as you need it. He will give you the wisdom you need to get through whatever it is you're going through. Oh yes, we all want to get to the end. We all want to get to when the situation is past. We all want to get past the pandemic. We all want to get past the financial stress of all this time we're going through. But God is, excuse me. But God is guiding. God is going to reveal the plan bit by bit. He doesn't give us the whole plan. He doesn't give us the plan to the end. He never gave the Apostle Paul the plan to the end. He told him, listen, chains and suffering are going to be in your life, every city you go in. But I'm with you, Paul. Now go. And he's told that to us as well. He's told us as believers to go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And lo, I will be with you to the very end of the age. God is with you, my friends. And we just got to take each and every step to get us to the final destination that God already knows what it's going to be. And yes, we want to be there, but God is saying, I need you to do step one before you do steps 5, 6, and 7. And I pray this speaks to you this morning, that perhaps God has called you and asked you to do step one. You're reluctant. You're hesitant. Maybe it's going to seem like it's going to be painful. You have to take that step of faith. You have to take that step in order for God to give you step two. And then step three, and that's a walk that we have with the Lord. God gives it to us in palatable pieces. He can't give it all to us. We'd be overwhelmed with it in every little piece. So I encourage you, whatever God's told you to do, do that. Fulfill that one step, and God will unfold the rest. Because God is there to give us wisdom in that time. And I think it's so important that we seek after God. God, give me discernment for the times that we're living in. Give me wisdom, Lord. Give me insight, Lord, into what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through. We need the wisdom that comes from above. As James tells us in chapter 1, if any of you lacks wisdom, just ask. God will give it to you. God wants to give you wisdom. God wants to give you this perception of what it is. You know, people ask me all the time, Pastor Rob, what do you think about this season that we're in? It's a very different season than any of us have ever experienced in our entire lives. But it has shown us our reliance and dependence are upon God and nothing else. Government doesn't even know what they're doing. The experts are still guessing what's going to happen. And I'm tired of hearing people tell us on the news, oh, it's going to get worse. Oh, it's going to rebound. It's all going to... Listen, focus on today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Focus on today. Today has enough trouble of its own. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Focus on today. So ask God for wisdom. Ask God for Him to show you how to navigate the days that we're living in. The wisest men in all the world, from history past to history future, was Solomon. And for that, we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Real quickly, 1 Kings chapter 3. To me, it's one of the most amazing stories in the Bible of the wisdom that God had given to Solomon. Now, Solomon had asked God for wisdom, and the wisdom that he asked for was that he'd be able to discern between right and wrong, be able to minister to his people. And because Solomon's heart was right and didn't want wisdom for himself but wanted it for others, God granted him that he would be the wisest man ever to live. And there's a story here in 1 Kings chapter 3, picking up in verse 16. It says, now two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, oh, my Lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, no, but the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son. And the first woman said, no, but the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son. Thus they spoke before the king. The king said, the one says, this is my son who lives, and your son is the dead one. And the other says, no, but your son is the dead one, and my son is the living one. Then the king said, bring me a sword. So they brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. And the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh, my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, let him be neither mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. What an amazing story. And I can remember clearly, many, many years ago, reading this story for the first time. And as I was reading the story before I knew what Solomon was going to do, I was like, what's the answer? What's the resolution? And notice that the wisdom of God was on King Solomon. The wisdom of God was upon him, and he was able to figure out a way to discern whose child that really was. This is the kind of wisdom that you and I need to discern the days that we're living in. God, we may not know what to do, but the Lord knows what we need to do. The Lord knows what needs to happen every single day of our lives. And so, just like the Apostle Paul, seeking after wisdom, ask God to give you the wisdom to do what's right, to stand back and take a look at what's going on in your home. Take a look at what's going on in your family or at your workplace or in your company and say, Lord, give me some wisdom. Help me to discern the times that we're living in. Help me to realize what it is, Lord, that you want us to do in these days. And like I said at this pastor's conference that I was at, the message that rang true and clear to me was to keep on keeping on. Keep on ministering the love of Jesus Christ to the church. And that's the reason next week, Lord willing, everything will come together and we'll be able to meet here in person, because we want to connect with you. We want to minister to you. We want to love on you. We want to pray over you. We're going to do our best to make sure everything's clean. We're going to make sure there's masks available. If you want to wear a mask, there's going to be hand sanitizers. We're going to make sure we wash down the place each and every week. We're going to do what needs to be done, but what really needs to be done is us coming together and meeting again. Is it going to be perfect? Probably not. Is it going to be comfortable? Only the Lord knows. But it's a beginning. It's a start for us to begin to come together again and do what God has called us to do. See, I believe the enemy and his craftiness is behind the scenes trying to keep churches from gathering together. Because if he can keep us from being together, he can actually try to defeat us. We are strong when we are together. We are strong when we are together in numbers. And that's what we must do. The Word of God was what the Apostle Paul was led and instructed by. And he received wisdom from the Lord and created a dissension between the Sadducees and the Pharisees so that their attention would become off of him. And through that, God would save the Apostle Paul. The last thing we see, verse 9. Let's go back to Acts chapter 23 and verse 9. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes and Pharisees party arose a protest, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." The Pharisees who believed in the resurrection, the Pharisees who believed in the Spirit, identified with what the Apostle Paul just said. And their old rivals, the Sadducees, they took action. The Pharisees took action against the Sadducees. He says, "We don't find anything wrong with this man." It's amazing to me. That they must have remembered the words of Gamaliel. The words of Gamaliel that said here in Acts, I actually have it here. I want to read it to you. It's in Acts chapter 5, verse 38 and 39. These things must have been ringing in their hair, in their ears. "And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them be alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found fighting against God." They realized, as they were witnessing the Apostle Paul, and they heard his testimony, and they heard his heart, and they heard his conviction, and they identified with him as a Pharisee. Yes, he's abandoned that Pharisaical life. Yes, he's not walking with the Lord, but he still believed in what they believed. And they found nothing wrong with him. And they realized in that moment, and I believe God was at work here, they realized in that moment that they would be fighting against God. They were fighting against one of their own. And to me, this is one of the most dangerous things in the church today, is when the believers fight against themselves. When we find ourselves fighting and arguing and disputing, does not honor God. Life is hard enough, my brothers and sisters, that we don't need to be fighting against each other. We have a real enemy out there, the devil and the demons. The spiritual realm is the battle that we should be fighting. And we cannot fight each other, because if we're fighting each other, then the enemy doesn't have to worry about a thing. We need to fight against the enemy and the lies and the darkness, and we need to seek after truth in the world that we're living in. This is the reality that we face. And for the Pharisees, they saw nothing wrong with the Apostle Paul, and they started fighting with the Sadducees. I would imagine the Apostle Paul, I don't know if he knew what was going to happen, perhaps he did, but I would imagine for the Apostle Paul, he was just standing there going, God, you're delivering me. God, you're taking care of me. God, you're protecting me. See, when you know God is at work in your life, when you know that God is working and protecting you, you can sense it, and you can thank the Lord for it. Continuing in verse 10, now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. So here's the Apostle Paul, first being chained, Acts chapter 22, getting ready to be flogged, pulls out his Roman citizenship card, gets out of that, speaks to the Jews in Jerusalem, the freedom in Christ, the sharing the gospel, and when he gets to the fact that the Gentiles also can be saved, then a riot breaks out again. It was one thing after another with the Apostle Paul in Jerusalem, and failure after failure after failure spiritually. From Paul's perspective, you can imagine how discouraged he might be. And now he's being sent back into the barracks. At least Ananias was trying, or listen, not Ananias. At least the commander of the army was trying to protect the Apostle Paul so they wouldn't pull him apart, because the dissension was so great. He was in fear again for the Apostle Paul's life. These men that were gathered together to decide what the Apostle Paul had done wrong against the law were now just arguing amongst themselves. And so the commander had to pull Paul aside to protect him. My friends, when God always has a plan, when God is always in the midst of working out our plan, God has a way of humbling us. But God also has a way of giving you wisdom in that season. Humble yourself before the Lord. He will lift you up. Ask for wisdom, and God will give it to you liberally. But never forget that God is always with you. See, the Apostle Paul could have very easily gotten so discouraged and so distraught over the position that he was in that he probably felt like a failure. Have you ever felt like you've been a failure? Have you ever felt like you've failed? You've given it all you can. You give you all your effort. You've given your entire life to something, and then you realize it isn't what you wanted. It didn't go the way you wanted it to go. It didn't happen the way you wanted it to happen. You feel like a failure. But see, faith in God leans on the Lord and says, Lord, I stepped into every season of my life with you. I began this thing, whatever it may be that you feel like you failed. I began this with you. I sought after you along the way. Oh, I'm sure there were times when you tried doing it in your own strength. But in a moment, you said, no, Lord, this is yours. We have to constantly be giving ourselves back to God and our plans back to God. Sorry, God, I started to take control here. I want to give it back to you. Give God back the control. But it's the enemy that wants to beat us and batter us down and make us feel like failures. But look at this. Look at verse 11. We can't go from here without reading verse 11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." Just a couple things here I want you to not miss. I love the fact that in verse 11, it says, "But the following night, the Lord stood by him." The Lord was right there by Paul. And don't miss this. The Lord was always with Paul. The Lord was always right there with Paul. Even in his times of questioning, even in his times of thinking he was a failure, no one gave their life to Christ. No one received the gospel in this time in Jerusalem. So at night, Paul certainly, laying in the barracks, must have been going, "Man, Lord, what did I messed up?" And Paul might have even been thinking some of the things he said to the council. "So why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that." You ever felt that way? You ever felt like, "I shouldn't have said that"? Because you know when you say something in the flesh, when you know you've said something from your resources and from your background and not the Lord, you know that it could be trouble. But when we speak on behalf of God, when we feel the Holy Spirit speaking through us, then we can trust God's will, even when it's difficult. We can trust when God's will is being done. The Bible tells us very clearly, speak the truth in love. And sometimes the truth hurts. That's why we must say it with love. Because when the truth hurts, that love comes alongside and embraces and supports that truth that was taught. How many of us have been taught a spiritual truth that really convicted our hearts, that really cut us to the core, only to find in a short season afterward, "Yes, that was true. Yes, Lord, thank you for helping me." I've said it many times. I am so thankful for the conviction of the Holy Spirit in my life. "Lord, convict me of my ways. Convict me of the error in my life. Convict me of the sin that's in my life so that I can make it right." And for the Apostle Paul, at night, sleeping, probably going, "Oh, I messed up." The Lord had to come to him and said, "Paul, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, Paul." Why did God, and Jesus specifically, why did Jesus tell the Apostle Paul to be of good cheer? Because Paul was feeling defeated. I believe that in my heart. I believe that the Apostle Paul felt like I was a total failure. And so God comes alongside him. And he says, "Be of good cheer, Paul. I'm in control of your life. Just as you've witnessed to me in Jerusalem," that's the thing that's amazing. No success. No one turned to the Lord, but he definitely preached the gospel. He definitely shared the truth of who Jesus was. He shared his testimony. And so that spoke into people's lives. And I am convinced there's people that were listening to those things, excuse me, that later on, probably came to the Lord. So just as you've witnessed to me in Jerusalem, so I'm going to have you in Rome. God came alongside the Apostle Paul and said, "Look, Paul, you may feel defeated, but trust me, I'm with you. Trust me, I'm with you." And that's something that we have to understand, that God is always near to you. God is always available to come close. If you're feeling distant from God, just ask him to come close to you. God is here. God is with you right now. Are you being sensitive to him? Are you being sensitive to his voice? Are you being sensitive to his will for your life? Are you being sensitive to the plan that God has? Because God always has a plan. And his plan, as I've said, is so much better. Don't feel like you're a failure. Don't feel like the enemy has won, because God will get the victory. I found this quote. It says, "Bold, courageous, and fearless during the day, the night of loneliness finds a strength that has been spent, and the enemy is never slow to take advantage of that fact." And the reason I love this quote, and the reason I shared that quote, is because, listen, during the day, we can feel like confident in God. We can feel like, "Yes, the Lord is with me. Yes, I'm going to have a good day." But then it's at night when we maybe feel like we're all alone and we begin to replay the day and replay the mistakes and replay the failure and replay whatever, that we start to feel defeated. And that's when the enemy just wants to hammer us. And it's at that moment we have to be reminded that everything we do, everything that you do, everything that I do, if it's done for the Lord, brings eternal value. You may not see anything being produced in your life. You may not see anything happening, but I want to remind you that behind the scenes, God is at work. Behind the scenes, God is orchestrating the events. How many of us have gone through our lives only to hear years later, people come to us and say, man, your life really ministered to me. There's a brother that used to come to this church many, many years ago. I hadn't talked to him in probably 5 or 6 years. We ended up getting on the phone the other day. And every time I talk to this brother, he just says, I just want you to know how much I appreciate your life, how much I appreciate your ministry. I learned so much under you. Guys, you don't know what God is doing with your life. And you may never know. You may never have somebody call you and say, because of what you've done, your life has made a difference in mine. You may not ever hear those words, but be assured that God is using you. And you just have to put yourself out there. You just have to make sure you're stepping in God's plan. Because when you're stepping in God's plan, God's will is being done. So continue to walk and don't feel like a failure. Be of good cheer, Paul, because Paul was discouraged, and maybe you're discouraged this morning. But God wants you to be encouraged and trust that he has a plan for your life and he has a good purpose for you. This verse spoke to me for many, many years in ministry and in my life. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. We'll close with this. It says, at my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of a lion. Maybe you feel like you're in the mouth of a lion. I believe that Paul wrote this to Timothy, talking about this time that he was in Jerusalem, when he felt so alone, when he felt like no one was there for him. And it was in verse 11 that God reminded the apostle Paul that, Paul, I am right here. I am standing right next to you. Be of good cheer. And when you know God is with you, it doesn't matter who's with you or who's not. God's with you. And God always has a plan for your life. And if he's there and if he's near, he's going to guide and direct your path. He's going to guide and direct the circumstances in your life and unfold his will. It is our job to be sensitive to his voice, to listen to his instructions, and to take each and every step. Are you living in God's plan? Are you in the center of his will? If you're not, this morning I would encourage you to take a moment before the end of this day, just take a moment and say, Lord, I don't feel like I'm in the center of your will. Please help me see. Please help me understand how you want to use my life. And maybe you're here this morning and you're feeling discouraged. You're feeling defeated. You're feeling like the enemy is winning. For you, it's the same prayer. Lord, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Which means greater is the Holy Spirit that's in you than the enemy that's trying to beat you up and discourage you. And so be reminded by the word of God that his plan is always better and that he always, always, always has a plan. So be encouraged that he is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Open your heart to him afresh today. He has a great plan for your life. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you, thank you, thank you for your word. How exceedingly grateful we are, Lord, for the scriptures. That we can read a text like this and be encouraged. Even in the midst of Paul's discouragement, God, you reminded him you were there. Just like you're reminding all of us, you are here with us. You are in the midst of this pandemic with us. You are in the midst of this crazy rainstorm with us. And as you are in the midst of every storm that we are going through, let us never forget that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Let us never forget that, Lord, you're in the boat with us. Though the storms may be raging, you bring peace. So may your word speak into our hearts and bring us peace, for you are the Prince of Peace. God, I ask blessings upon everyone who's listening right now. I pray, God, blessings upon their lives, that their hearts have been encouraged by you and by your word, and that they find great wisdom and discernment is available to them as they humble themselves before you. We love you, God, and we are so, so thankful to be called your children. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. Hope you have a wonderful Sunday. We look forward to seeing you here next week, Lord willing. God bless.